I'm glad that I was here to get to hear that. The older you get, the more these songs have meaning to you. When you start talking about a haven called heaven, I believe I'm closer to heaven than I was yesterday. Yesterday about 4 o'clock, I thought I was real close. Yesterday was a fun day, but I'll tell you, I'm glad we only have them fun days about once a year. I couldn't stand too much of that fun. 100 degrees out there eating watermelon and sucking on Pepsis. That's a tough life, amen? Well, I'm glad you're here today. I think the emphasis is very needed in the day in which we live. I think dads are necessary, although our society don't think so anymore. I just think kids need dads. And I think dads need to be men. Amen? But now the world's idea of a man and God's idea of a man might not be the same. I just want to read one verse in 1 Samuel. One verse over in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, I want to read for you just one verse. One verse for a springboard for a text today. And I want to ask you that question. Dad, is there a man in the house? Oh, how necessary it is for children to witness a day-by-day illustration of what a man is. Amen. Some of you women believe in single parenting. Good luck without a man. Because there's only been one woman been able to do that, and her name was Mary. Amen. Well, you say, preacher, you already got started off wrong. No, I got started off just like I wanted to get started off. I didn't make no mistake. I just believe men are necessary. Amen? But the right kind of men, he's even more necessary. Amen. Do you feel something coming on this morning? Yeah, you look like you're anticipating something. Some of you men look like a calf looking at a new gate. You don't know whether to run or jump. Huh? All right. Let me read you verse 7. Verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter number 16. How many folk believe the word of God? Amen. Believe it'll work today? Yes. It's worked all through generations. It'll keep on working. Is that right? Here, let me show you something. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Dad, is there a man in your house? You say, well, I use Old Spice and smell like I just got home from across the sea. Since I've got a beard under my nose and somewhere above my Adam's apple. But that's not what makes a man. You see, I've enrolled down at the gym and I can press 500 pounds. But the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance. Well, I'm bigger than my wife. That don't mean you can whoop her. Well, I yell and bark a lot. That don't mean you're treed. Are we having fun yet? Dad, I'd like to ask you a personal question. Dad, is there a man living at your house? I'm not talking about a Hollywood man. Somebody can unbutton their shirts and show the raccoon they skinned last night plastered to their chest. I'm not talking about someone that, you know, looks like Cheetah and yells like Tarzan and smells like Jane. Dad, I want to ask you a question today. Over there at your house, inside the walls, is there a man living at your house? Well, we look at and we get Hollywood's idea of what a man is. Mel Gibson and Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Marlboro Man with square jaws with a sheepskin jacket riding on somebody else's quarter horse. Or maybe we buy us a Harley and get us a rag and put on our head and ride on our license plate, "I'm a man." That's the world's idea. And that's all right. It's okay to have nostalgia attacks. If you can afford them. I just can't afford them. You know, if I bought another 59 Chevrolet today with four on the floor and 456 and 335 in the engine, I couldn't afford it. So nostalgia won't work with me. I'm just wondering, Dad, over there where you live, is there a man in the house? We equate attractiveness and strong and rich and powerful, but I don't think that's God's idea of a man. Although those might be encompassed in what God would think, but I just think, bless your heart, these may be included, but God's idea of a man and the world's idea of a man might be entirely different. In fact, God's idea of a man, the world may look at him and say, "Well, he's a wimp. He don't have a motorcycle jacket. And he can't grow a little badge. His razor don't have a gap in it." You know why most folks have it here? Because they can't any longer grow it here. And that's okay. That's okay. But just because you smell like a bear don't make you a bear. I'm just saying we need to get God's idea of what a man is. Of what a godly man is. Of what a godly man and a godly husband really is. I believe that a good father and a good man is the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, unappreciated hero in all of humanity. The greatest number of phone calls are made on Mother's Day. Did you know that? But the greatest amount of collect calls are made on Father's Day. Dads, can you say amen? A little boy was asked to define Father's Day. And he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only the present doesn't cost as much." Could I give you Dad's favorite sayings? Some of you folk might identify with these. Go ask your mother. Have you ever heard that? "Just wait till I get home." Have you ever heard that? And I prayed, "Dear God, I hope he don't ever come home. Take care of it now. I don't want to dread it all the way to the house, right? You just wait till I get home." Have you ever heard that? Good old Dad, you know. Have you ever heard this? "When I was your age." Yes, sir. Has your dad ever looked at you and said, "When I was your age"? You heard about Abraham Lincoln. You heard about the kid. Brought home a report card and it was not up to snuff. Dad looked at the kid and said, "Say, son, did you know when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he made straight A's?" Kid said, "Did you know when he was your age, he was president of the United States?" Some dad's favorite sayings. I used to walk to school in the snow. Uphill, both directions. Right? Have you ever heard this? "I'm busy right now." And then the favorite. "Because I said so." What are you laughing about, boys? He said, "You've hit every one of them," he said. Is that right? Good old dads, good old dads. Let me make a statement. Let me help you a bit. Just because you're the biological, male who sired your children does not automatically make you a father. What's happened today, our homes are suffering from phantom fathers. Fathers who have absolutely forsaken the family for some other priority. It is devastating not only to our homes but to our society. Could I please give you just some results of fathers who have forsaken the home? 550% increase in violent crime since in 30 years. 550% increase in violent crimes because of the absence of the father in the home. Secondly, 400% increase in illegitimate births. 200% increase in teen pregnancies. 300% increase in teen suicides. And of all of the incarcerated teenagers in juvenile detention centers in the country, 70% of all of those detained in juvenile institutions are the result of an absent father, manly influence in the child's life. 70%. And we wonder what in the world is wrong with our homes and wrong with our kids. Maybe we need to look around the house and see if there's a man in the house. Are we having fun yet? I just believe with all of my heart, and I do not want to beleaguer the fact, but I just want to look back over 68 years. I go back in my own children's life, and I go back into my father and in my home life and raised at a place where I had to walk to school in the snow every day, 365 days of the year, barefooted. And I look back and I preach to you today, not from somebody else's experience, but I'd like to talk to you today as a father of six children that all of them love the Lord and all of them has been saved. And early this morning, before God ever turned on the air, one of them called and said, "Dad, I just wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. And I'm leaving to preach three times today. I preached twice yesterday and three times today to try to get them all preached to. And I'd like to reach back into the experience of my own life. Just share something with you today that I think we need to look at. I think this world is hurting for godly men. I think this world is suffering. I think our kids are suffering for the lack of godly men. I'm not talking about harsh and rough and tough. I'm talking about godly, settled, wise men who has the heart as big as a watermelon and a backbone like a railroad tie. I'm talking about men who's not too big to cry and too big to run. I'm talking about men who will keep their commitment, rain or shine, hell or high water. And when they say for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and health, till death do us part, we'll hang in there because of the kids, if nothing else. Are we having fun yet? Can we say amen? And I just want to ask you something today, Dad. Is there a man in the house? Dad, I want you to allow me this morning, if you would please, in verse number 7, look at it if you would again. I want to identify today, I want to define for you today what a godly man is really like. Notice if you would verse 7. For the Lord looketh on the outward, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If God's looking at the heart today, do you think that God is more impressed with what's on the inside or what's on the outside? Do you think God is more important with integrity or success? Do you think God is interested in honesty or manipulative ways of getting rich? I just want you today to know, men, you need to change the focus because God's not looking the same way as your employer is. What is a godly man? First of all, a godly man is a man who is a Christian man. Now get this, he's Christian all during his life, not just at the funeral service. It bothers me when I have to eulogize somebody and look in there and say, is that the guy I'm talking about? Hello? Why is it everybody expects you to lie about somebody who's lived like hell all their life, then all of a sudden they've gone to Saint Heaven? Why is it they want me to tell everybody how generous they are when in reality they're so tight we had to put them in a casket made in the form of a corkscrew and screwed that sorry sucker in the ground? You say, boy, this ain't a very good sermon. A Christian man is a Christian, is a Christian all of his life. I just believe, ladies and gentlemen, that our kids are suffering because they have a misconception of what Christian is all about. Because all their life they run from a mean daddy. All their life they live with a vacant daddy. All their life they live with a man who only goes to church on Father's Day and on Easter, and they're Christian. Daddy, over where you live in, is there a man that is genuinely born again? Because a Christian dad knows the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look, you can't get to heaven if you were to join every Baptist church in the world. I can baptize you so many times the tadpoles are familiar with your social security number and you can die and go to hell. A dad, a Christian dad, is a dad who knows that you must go by the way of the cross because there's no other way but this. Jesus said, I am the way. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to go my way. I'm the life. If you want life, you're going to come through me. And I'm truth. If you want to know the truth, you got to go by me. Every dad in the world that is a godly dad is a saved Christian dad. Boy, it's getting weak. Some of you folk look like it's time to go to sleep. He not only knows the way, but thank God, he knows the why. He knows the why. Look in your Bible at John chapter 3 and verse 36. He not only knows the way, he says, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He's the way. There's no other way but this. I must needs go home by the way of the cross because there's no other way but this. But he knows the why. A Christian dad, a Christian man, knows the why. Look at verse 36 of John 3. Here it is. Let me read it for you. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How many folk believe that? How many folk believe that with all your heart? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hey, that's good news to you. Is that not so? But now look at the rest of the verse. And he that hath not believed on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Hey, you know what? A godly, saved Christian dad not only knows the way, but he knows why. Hey, somebody told me one day that if I didn't get saved, I was going to go to hell. Somebody told me one day that because of Adam and Eve, I was in a whole lot of trouble. Somebody said because Adam and Eve got me in trouble, I was a sinner, and if I die a sinner, I'll go to hell. I slid off my couch and got saved because I knew why and I knew the way. Is that not so? And you know, I think we're hurting in the world today for people who knows the way and knows the why. You listen to a lot of preaching today. Why? Just join up and become religious and learn a few vernaculars and a little bit of Christian terminology and you got it made. You got it made. Somebody's lying to us. Well, you ask people all the time, if you die today, you know you're going to heaven. Boy, I hope so. Boy, I'd like to sell you some insurance. You say, well, will it pay off? Well, I hope so. How much of it do you want? It's cheap. Got lots of policies back there in my office. I'd like to sell you some. I'll sell you $1 million worth of insurance for a dollar. Well, will it work? Well, who knows? After all, you'll be dead. Won't make you different. You say, preacher, I'd be a fool to buy that kind of insurance. Well, you're a bigger fool to settle on that kind of insurance for eternity. Paul said, for I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say amen? And a Christian dad, a Christian man, he knows in whom he believed. He knows why. He knows the way. Can you say amen? And I just believe all my heart what this world is hurting for is a Christian dad in the home. A Christian dad in the home. Bless your heart. And he not only knows the way, he knows the why, he knows the how. For instance, since you guys been saved, has the devil ever tempted you to not come to church on Sunday? Now, he wouldn't do it with hobbies. He'd do it with work. Because I know all you men in this place are so committed to God, you would not put God on the shelf for a stinking little temporary hobby. It would have to be something that was really important to get you conned. You know, like Jesus, when the devil looked him straight in the eye and said, you know, I'll give you everything this world has to offer if you'll just bow down to me. You remember what Jesus said? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and there will be no other gods before me. See, a Christian dad, listen now, a real man has got enough backbone and enough why about him to say, I know my flesh wants to do this, but my heart says, I'll to do this. And God looketh not on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. What we need are some Christian men who will say no to some things because the other things are more important. Needs to say no to the temporal and yes to the eternal. Guess why? Mama's watching. Well, Mama's saved. Yeah, but Mama's sleeping with you, you sorry booger. Hello? Did we lose you? Kids are watching. Grandkids are watching. Church kids are watching. Everybody's watching. And I think, first of all and foremost, if there's a man around your house, he's a Christian man. Secondly, you say, I didn't like that point. Well, you probably won't like this one then. Because it just gets worse and worse. For 40 years, ask all my kids, any six of them, and I've tried to be that Christian daddy for those kids. Failed, yes. Stuck my toe and fell flat on my face, yes. Had to eat crow, yes. Go look at my truck. I've eaten so much crow, feathers are growing out from beneath the back bumper. Yes. But first and foremost, around the house, there ought to be a Christian man around the house. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Women, at least you all say amen. Secondly, I think that God would say to you and I that he is a Christian man in touch with God. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Exalts God in his heaven. Exalts him as creator. Exalts him who he is. And then he talks about dwelling in the heart of a contrite and broken spirit. And how a man is at awe with God's word. I just believe with all my heart what has happened in this world is a lot of men are dependent on their church attendance for their spirituality. But I think what is needed in our homes today, now listen to me, is somebody that not only talks about God, but walks with God. Somebody that not just carries the Bible, but reads and meditates on the Bible. Somebody that not only talks about fellowship, but fellowships with God on a daily, regular basis. Somebody that the kids and mom can look at and say, he is walking and talking with the Lord. Over and over, Jesus said, he that abides with me and I in him, he that abides in me shall bear fruit. If you don't abide in him, you can do nothing. Have you ever read that in John 15? Have you ever read that in John 15? And what we need in our world today and in our homes today is a Christian man in touch with God. Does any of our women feel like saying amen? Ha! Guys, put your finger in your ears so the women will say amen. We're hurting in the world today for Christian men who are in touch with God on a regular, daily basis. Now you can tell just how close you are. How many chapters have you read this week in the Bible compared to how many news programs you've watched from Hollywood? Some of you are more up to date with the political horizon than you are the eternal horizon. You can talk about politics, but you can't find Hezekiah in the Bible. I'm just saying, don't blame it all on the kids. The kids have had wonderful examples to follow. They've heard you talk about the wild parties you used to run around in. And they knew you were the bull of the woods, stud duck of the woods where you were raised. But they haven't heard much about soul winning. God's answer to prayer. How sweet it is to fellowship with the Lord. And what a wonderful story that was in the Bible I read today. I'm just wondering, maybe we need a first and foremost a Christian man, and then a Christian man who's in touch with God. Let me give you this and I'll go. Does your wife know that you're in such close touch with God that she's asked you lately to pray for anything in her life that she can't handle? Or does she have to ask the preacher? If she's got to ask the preacher, there's no man living at your house. Because godly men are Christian men who are in constant touch with God. Thirdly, you see, there's even more. I just thought I'd throw this in there. He's a Christian disciple of Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'll not spend too much time there because you look like you're mad enough. Fourthly, he's a Christian loving man. Loving man. Have you ever read Matthew chapter number 22, verse 37 and through 40? Jesus is being questioned and trying to be conned by the legal minds of his day. And in verse 36, the lawyer asked Jesus, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is really the great commandment in the law?" You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord God with all of thine heart, all of thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do this and you fulfill the whole law." Two things. Love God. Love your neighbor. Well, I got somebody just unlovable. No, you just ain't trying hard enough. You say, "Yeah, but they're walking their dog in my yard." Yeah, I'm going to shoot somebody's dog. He's always in my yard. I don't mean I got to love the dog. I got to love the guy that owns the dog. Love the Lord with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I would take from that a good man, a godly man, a God-honoring man, a godly father is somebody who is a loving man. We got that mixed up. We really do. We think a man is somebody that always run around beating on his chest. And he got at least three tattoos that you can see. Hello? Remember when it was the men getting the tattoos? But God says what we need in this world and what kind of dads we need is Christian men who's in constant touch with God, who knows how to be a disciple of Christ, and is a loving man to his father, to his family, and to his friends. You agree? You say, "Well, preacher, there's just some folk I can't love." No, there just ain't nobody like that. You just love some more than you do others. Have you ever seen anybody you just don't like? Don't raise your hand. Say, "Yes, I married them. Opposites attract." I just don't like them. See, God don't tell us we got to like them. God says we got to love them. Like has to do with characteristics. Love has to do with something much deeper than characteristics. Like has something to do with outward extremities. Love has something to do with inward. God don't look at the outside. I think maybe if God looked at the outside, we might make God a little sick. Huh? Come on now, say amen. In fact, the way some of you are looking, you must have had an argument right before you left the house. Because you hadn't looked at one another all during the service. And you knew if you looked at one another, you'd have to smile at church. And you're just not going to smile at each other because you're mad. And if God looked at how we act, Boy, wouldn't we be in a bunch of trouble? If God's relationship with us had to do with what we're doing, we would be zip. But God don't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not a Christian. You're not in touch with God. You know nothing about being a disciple. And if God is love, and the God of love is not in your heart, then all you know how to do is to lust, not love. And what we need in this country are some men, again I say, with a heart as big as a watermelon. Who did we have some watermelon yesterday? And a backbone like a railroad tie. Who will be a loving man? And lastly, I've got another one I put up there. And I really believe it's important, and I think we could look at it. What time is it? Oh, yes, we got lots of time. He is a Christian man who accepts responsibility. Daddy, you did it. Daddy, you did it. Don't blame your kids. They didn't know how to do what they'd done. They learned that somewhere. You know what daddies need to do? Godly men are willing to accept their God-given responsibilities. Number one, as the leader in the home. My wife is not the one to make the call on my kids' spiritual destiny. My wife is not to take the lead in the Bible study, the biblical development, the Christian character of my kids. You just thought the head of the home was running around whooping on your wife. The only verse you knew was, wives, submit. You are going to have to take responsibility for those kids that God has put into your keeping, and it's your responsibility to be the leader, not only the mama, but of those kids in your home. You, Daddy, are going to have to step up to the plate and accept the responsibility. And if you kids don't want a responsibility, don't have kids. Amen. Buy puppies. Amen. And I got some for sale. Accept your spiritual responsibility. And that's more than just taking them to church when you feel like going. Men, godly men, biblical men, those who love God, those who have been saved, those in touch with God, those that are a disciple, those who love God with all their heart, they willingly accept their God-given responsibility of the leadership in the home. Can you imagine at my house, me asking Ginger, honey, are we going to church tonight? Can you imagine in God's lifetime, not even in mine, but in God's lifetime, me wimping up to the plate and said, honey, are we going to church tonight? That would gag a maggot. That would stick in my throat. I'm sure it would choke me to death. But no, sir. My statement is, wife, are you ready to go to church? She always says no. I said, then drive your own car. And she said, I was planning on it anyhow. And then she says, could I get the gas card, please? Guys, step up to the plate. I'm speaking to the best men in Johnson County. I'm speaking to men who love God. I'm speaking to men who are men's men. But let us become God's men. Men who are genuinely born again. Men who are in constant touch with God. Men who has already thought the thing out that you'd rather be a disciple of God as a disciple of this old world. And men who, bless your heart, are loving men. And men who are willing to accept responsibility for leadership in their home. Why is it we have to ask mamas or kids going to camp? It's not mama's call. Why is it mama's always bringing kids in my office who've been caught stealing or caught cheating or something? Why don't daddy step up the plate and say, let's go see the preacher? No, sir, you send wife down there. And she says, well, here he is, preacher. I'll see you after a while. And he and I drink a Pepsi and they come back and I say, well, take your brat home. You raised him, now you enjoy him. Hello, can anybody say amen? It is man. Hey, did you ever read Genesis 3:16? Have you ever read that? God looked at Eve and said, because you got in trouble, he shall rule over you. You say, I want another translation. Genesis 3:16, and Eve has just gone to the supermarket and bought herself some fruit she had no idea is going to taste that well. But it got bitter, and God looked at Eve and said, because of that, he shall rule over you. That's reiterated in the New Testament several times. So men, you say, preacher, you don't understand. She won't let me. Have you ever heard this old saying? Don't shut the gate after the cows get out. You should have checked the pastor before you said, I do. And if she won't let you be the head of the home, you let her be the head of somebody else's home. You know why? Because that's God's will. That's God's way. And that's the way it works. Amen. We just need some godly men who will accept the responsibility not only to be the head of the home, but understands and accepts the responsibility of his entire family, financially, religiously, domestically, emotionally, and physically. Dad, it's time you stepped up to the plate, became that kind of man. And I just wonder now. Some of you guys bark like bulldogs. I've heard you. Talk to your wife like she was dirt. Well, if I was her, I'd wait till you go to sleep. And I'd tell her that a satellite just hit our house. It missed me, but somehow or another it hit you right between the eyes. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't want no more stars falling in this place. That's not godliness. Just because you grow a mustache don't make you a man. What makes you a man is whether you're saved or not. Amen? Whether you're got enough gumption to walk in constant touch with the Lord. Accept the responsibilities, God-given responsibilities of a wife and a family. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Now next week, I'm just going to put in a commercial. Now this is what I don't understand. Now this is far beyond my comprehension. This is far beyond my comprehension. That some of you godly parents would put secular activities in front of a spiritual endeavor to help you with your kids at home. I cannot understand the life of me. Why you want to bring your kids to my office and help, let me help you fix what could have been fixed a long time ago if you, Daddy, had just had the spiritual priorities at the house. You'll spend more money filling the tank up on your brat's truck or car than you spend sending your kids to camp for 1 week underneath the preaching of God's Word, the example of God's people, and fellowship with good Christian kids. It'll cost you more money to fill your brat's car up with gas than it would for you to send your kid to let us try to help your kid before it's too late. That I can't understand. You'll spend money all year long to put them in a Christian school, but you'll take them on vacation instead of send them to a Christian camp. Now that I don't understand. You say, well, you're about to make me mad. Well, I'm trying real hard. If you're Christian, you need to start acting like it. If you're Christian, you need to start thinking like it. If you're Christian, you need to accept the responsibility that your children are to be pointed toward the Lord and not toward this stinking world. I'm just wondering, in closing, Dad, is there a man living over at your house?